Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of I Want to Talk Movies. It's been quite a minute, but we're back. So my name is Andy.
And I'm Andrew. How's it going, Andy?
It's going. We I don't know what happened. We had a bit of a dry spell for a minute. And then I had some personal stuff happening, so I couldn't record. And
movies are complicated now, man. Like, I don't even know if they're streaming on services. I don't know if they're in theaters. I don't know.
That is also true.
But I don't know where I'm supposed to find them sometimes. I was like, I want to see this movie. And then I'll go to a movie theater and I see it. And then 2 days later, it's on Disney Plus for free. And I was like, well, not free, but I wouldn't have had to pay the additional money.
Well, I mean, you got to experience it in a theater, right? So you got to support your local theater. Right.
That's true.
I guess I'm kind of old school in that aspect. I love going to the theater and just like kind of seeing things on the big screen. But now, like, so I mean, currently I got some stuff we can watch now that is going to be theater based, right? So, and I'll probably talk to you. I'll probably mention it on here, anyways. But what we have in store today is we're not only going to talk about one movie, we're going to talk about two movies today, which I'm really excited, and then not excited, but excited for not being excited. So we're going to talk about Moon Knight as Moon Knight, whatever. We're going to talk about Sonic 2, which Andrew is super hyped to talk about that for some reason.
You're trying to downplay Sonic, man.
No.
And like, we'll talk about it for 10 minutes. I'll be like, you'll talk about it for 10 minutes. I will talk about Sonic for at least a solid 15-20.
I was just trying to figure out the timing of like all this stuff, and then you're like, oh hey, by the way, I'm already recording, so I don't even know what shit I might have already said against my, you know, without me knowing. It's on the record now, so I'll just wait to see what you put out. So we'll talk about Sonic and we're gonna have a blast talking about Sonic, right, Andrew?
Yeah,
we're gonna have a good time. And then I think what Andrew and I were like contemplating whether or not to watch Morbius, but Andrew said he's gonna check it out regardless, and I'm like, all right, well, I can't let him just watch it and not have myself watch it. So I decided to do it. But yeah. So we'll do a little quick check-in and see how we're doing, and then we'll get into like the good stuff. So what's been going on with you, man? How's life?
It's pretty good. It's getting warm here, which is finally nice. You know, it's been like London weather for like 3 weeks. It's really funny. Mediterranean people can't take it because they expect it to be warm now. But, you know, it's just been, like, cloudy and kind of rainy. And you can just tell they're getting upset.
I mean, I like cloudy and rainy a little bit every now and then. I like cloudy in the mornings. Like, I like the fog. I don't know why. I'm just weird. But, wait, is it humid? It feels like it'd be humid where you're at.
No, not yet. It'll get humid. It'll only get humid till like, mid-June and end of June. No, wait, July maybe. I mean, all of August is horrible, pretty much, and then like half of July.
So what you're saying is that I should not come down to visit you in August.
I mean, you can. It's humid. People come here all the time in August, and they probably don't realize it's as humid as it really is, but it's not so bad. I mean, the nice thing is, it's like, I'm trying to think if it's like, no, Texas is a little drier, but it's nice that it's warm at night, too. It's probably like the South.
Got it. All right. But what's it called? I have like a little bit of bunch of like brain fogging is happening too, but we'll keep it together.
Well, how are you doing then?
Yeah, I've been okay. I've had some stuff happen or whatever. I lost a lot of my life to Elden Ring the past month and a half. And I was telling you, I don't know if you recorded this part already, but I played about like 200 hours worth of Elden Ring with like two playthroughs. And then I'm like, I gotta stop. And then you and I were talking about like what game is harder, either Metroid Dread or Elden Ring. And because I can't seem to comprehend the play style of Metroid Dread, you're like, so is Metroid Dread harder? And I'm just like, I'm not gonna answer that.
Or it sounds like you went on record saying that Metroid Dread is harder.
Okay, it might be harder for me in the sense of not playing it enough to comprehend the pattern attacks and all that. I just have more of a history with like From Software games or whatever. So I literally played that game for like a month and a half straight, and I enjoyed a lot of part of it, and I enjoyed lots of parts of it, and then I suffered through a lot of it. But now, and then I think the other part that, so because I played that game, I'm like, all right, I got to stop, and which is what led to me going to the theater. So what I ended up doing is that I asked my supervisor for a half day because I was like stressing out, and I'm like, you know what, like I don't want to play a game anymore. I want to like just get out. So what I ended up doing is that I ended up going to my local theater and I bought two tickets, one for Sonic, one for Morbius. So I double cheeked it for the day, and I went to two showings on the same day, and I was like, you know,
which one did you see first?
I went to see Morbius first.
Is that intentional, or just the way the timing worked?
It was both. It just kind of happened to work out that way because I did a half shift, and I'm like, all right, there's a 1 o'clock showing for Morbius, and there's a 4 o'clock showing for, or was it like a 1:30? I don't know, but there was like a 4 o'clock for Sonic. So I'm like, because I was gonna see Sonic first, but I didn't want to like stay out. You know, I wanted to get back home at a reasonable hour, so I didn't want to like have to, and I didn't want like a freaking 2 hour like delayed time, you know. So I kind of figured out like between Morbius and Sonic, there's like a half an hour wait or whatever, so I was able to like walk around, stretch my legs, and then grab a snack, and then I was ready to go for round two. And obviously you guys will hear what I enjoyed more that day. And then kind of going into like what I have watched, because I have not really watched much television besides Moon Knight and movies. But another movie that I'm going to try to really, really pressure Andrew into watching, if it comes out in his area, is a movie called Everything, Everywhere, All at Once. So now that we're on the record, I'm gonna like beg you to go check this movie out in your local theater. It's I don't know what it is, but it's very this movie's just, this is very well done and really good. And to convince you more, Andrew, it's produced by the Russo brothers. If you have a chance to check out this movie called Swiss Army Man with Daniel Radcliffe, and I forgot his name. His name's Paul, but the guy who played the Riddler in Batman.
Paul Dano?
Yeah, Paul Dano. Those two are the main characters in Swiss Army Man. And Daniel Radcliffe literally plays a dead body in this movie.
Interesting.
Yeah. So these two directors made that movie and also made this movie called Everything, Everywhere, All at Once. And it's a kind of like a multiverse movie also. So now that we're kind of getting into like the multiverse stuff with like Marvel and DC, like this came out, but it's a very interesting movie and it was really cool. So I just want to be able to talk about it with you at some point on this podcast.
Okay. So, well, I'll check it out if I can.
Yeah. What about you, man? Have you watched anything cool lately?
So there's two things I was going to mention because, you know, I was talking to you about how there's too many streaming services. Well, not too many, but I assume something's going to give in the near future. I think they're onto us. You know, I think they're going to start bundling them. I think they're going to start putting in longer requirements for like when you can cancel and not cancel. So right now I have Apple TV and Disney Plus, so I can watch Moon Knight, and then I wanted to watch this TV show called We Crashed. I wanted to talk about it because I wanted to compliment Jared Leto.
Of course.
Actually, I would compliment Morbius with Jared Leto and Morbius. I would complain about other things. But so We Crashed is like the story of the rise and, like, I don't know, not really fall, but like, I don't know, kind of fall, pseudo fall. It's still a company, but the rise and fall of WeWork, the co-working space. There's this really strange story about the CEO and how he raised the money and how the company IPO'd very famously and crashed, and you know, investors have dumped billions of dollars into this company and it's not worth very much. So it's an interesting story, and I think it's really well acted. So I've liked it a lot. Like, it's crazy the how similar he was able to, like, I think bring it to the real character. I forget the real guy's name, something Newman. But if you watch videos of this guy interviews, it's just like he totally nailed it 100%. So it's really good. I really liked it. That comes out weekly. And then I've been watching this other TV show on Apple TV Plus called Severance. I think I texted you about this one.
I don't remember.
This one's interesting. Okay, it's got Adam Scott in it, which was why I was attracted to it.
Because he's awesome. Okay, yeah, you did mention it. Yeah. Okay, now yeah, so you did mention it.
It's this strange sci-fi TV show about how, like, what would happen if your work life and your real life were, like, totally separated. So in order to work for this company, you undergo this process where, like, the second you enter work, you have no recollection of your outside life. And then when you leave work, you have no recollection of your work life. But there's all these really strange... Yeah, there's these really strange sci-fi twists on it, because people insinuate that, like, it's... you know, torture that they leave the work guy in there and he's like splitting his personality into two. Someone insinuates to him in the first episode, like, it's kind of torture, you know, like you're leaving that guy in there and he only knows work. And like, you know, Adam Scott's response is like, well, that's me. Like, it's not another guy, it's me. But like, there's metaphysical kind of thinking where, like, no, now it's two people, right? It is two people, because that other person doesn't have any recollection of the other life. So it's this weird stuff. It's, and you know, there's this mystery behind it and stuff. I really like the show. Plus, Adam Scott's awesome. So,
I love Adam Scott. It's weird because, like, either it was like video games or my like mental state of mind. And I could be open a little bit about it. You know, I do go through like moments of like depression and whatnot. So I just like get unmotivated to like do anything, right? You know, besides like sometimes just doing the bare minimum of like getting up, working, and getting you need to get done for the day, and then calling it a day. But now, like, these past 2 days, like going to the theater, you know, like twice in like under 5 days and everything, like kind of rekindle my juice, right? Because I don't know, I think we have movies that I'm excited to come out, that are coming out too, and shows that I feel like I want to plan to start watching. So like Severance is one of them. I've been really wanting to watch this HBO movie, I forgot what it's called again. See, it's the one with my brain fog happening. But there's some HBO shows I've been wanting to like finally like get onto, and if I like remember it, I will say it here.
Is it the Taika Waititi
one? Not that one. I don't know if it had a start date. It is on my list, but not that one that I'm trying to think about. Succession. That's the one I really want to watch. I've heard good things, and that's like the one I've been like sleeping on. So like just like Succession, Mayor of Easttown, that I've fallen back on. So there's a couple things I've been wanting to like actually get to, and I think I'm gonna actually like start at least like maybe slowly, you know, because there's so much you can do. And of course, like with the Marvel stuff, I'm keeping up with like Moon Knight, which is like only like a half an hour to 40 minute commitment, which I'm like, all right, cool, once a week, which is why I like I'm a fan of the weekly release, you know. So
like I said before, I think the companies are catching up to this, and I think they're going to change some of this stuff soon. You know, I noticed when I canceled my HBO account, one of the options, they always ask you the little survey, why are you canceling? One of the options was like, I watched everything I wanted to watch or something. And I think that's a new option. I don't remember that being there the last time I canceled it. So I think they know, right? They definitely know. But now they're trying to monitor it in some kind of quantitative way, which probably means they anticipate trying to stop it in some way. And I guess probably the best way to do it is what Disney's doing, and just do weekly releases again, because then It stops some of it. And then we know Netflix is also doing this thing where they're trying to crack down in certain regions with sharing. So they're charging more for sharing, depending on, I guess, maybe they're monitoring IP addresses or something. So I suspect they're going to do something to start bundling them together, because I don't think consumers will, like, I don't know how they'll respond to having to have all of them for, like, you know, let's say Netflix is like, you have to pay us 6 months up front or something, or like the contract is for 6 months. You know, I don't know how people will respond to that or not. But I also don't know how many people do what I do and turn them on and off.
It's true, because I mean, a lot of people kind of do, like, so me, a lazy person, right, will be like, I need to, you know, I want to make sure I have HBO or Disney Plus to have, you know, watch the latest and greatest stuff, right? And then I'm like, oh, automatic payments, take my money. Because I know that I'm only paying, you know, here $14.99 for HBO and $7.99 for Disney. So I'm like, okay, I can do that for a month, you know. But yeah, that shit adds up, you know. And Netflix is increasing their. So here's my thing: Netflix is increasing their prices. I feel like every year by like a dollar. So for like the highest here in the States, it's like $20 now, a month, which isn't terrible. But if it keeps going up, it's, you know, it's like, what are we, you know, like, what, you know, what are we doing, right? Kind of like with all, because again, Netflix is overwhelming with like all the amount of content, and I hate to say that, like, with the overwhelming amount of content, it's hard to find that gold nugget, you know, if you're not waiting for like the big shows like Stranger Things, The Witcher, a bunch of like other shows that, you know, that they're giving. Because like I feel like I've been watching Netflix less and less. So I think the last greatest show last show that I really, really enjoyed watching on Netflix was Arcane, or The Witcher, depending on which order I watched that. You know, but I will watch the new Stranger Things season when it comes out. So it all depends. And then I'm also very uncomfortable with the idea of them, like, oh, if you're sharing your password, we are going to, you know, start charging a fee for that, which I think is not fair, you know?
I think they're definitely going to crack down on that one at the bare minimum. They all will crack down on that.
Yeah.
I think, before they do the, like, you have to buy 6 months in advance or something thing, or like you have to make a contract with us.
It just makes me a little bit like, because like, once you agree to, like, and I guess like people, like, I guess like, you know, they, you know, like, they just kind of skip over the terms, right? Because I feel like they might mention that, like, hey, you know, like, please don't share your password, might be written there.
I mean, I think it's in there. It's probably in the terms that you're not supposed to do that. I'm sure it's in there.
Yeah. So it's like, all right, you know, if it's in the writing, then like, yeah, we have to kind of, you know, comply with that. But I feel like, but I'm also kind of like, if we're giving you money already, like, I feel like it's, you know, I'm definitely sounding more American right now by saying like, you know, I pay for my service and it's my, you know, my right to give my password to whoever I want, kind of deal, you know.
Oh man, that is super American, Andy.
Yeah.
It reminds me of the people. I'm gonna go on a quick tirade. People saying that, like, I should be able to say whatever I want on Twitter. No, I think this is funny, because I think it's funny. People say they should be able to say whatever they want on Twitter. Like, oh, this is like a free speech issue, and for me, and this is coming from an incredibly progressive person, to be perfectly honest, right? You know, I'm a very progressive person politically.
Fair.
You don't have the right to say whatever you want on Twitter, because Twitter is a private company that sets the terms. I mean, like, and if you don't want to agree to those terms, like, don't use the fucking platform. So I think it's very funny that, like, and I get it. There's like, you know, sometimes when terms and, you know, they become over complex and you can get into like consumer rights issues, blah, 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 blah. But I mean, the First Amendment was not written by the founding fathers in an attempt to protect people from private companies. It was written to protect you from the government. Right. To protect you from the government coming down and like arresting you for saying something. I don't think they wrote it for, you know, so you can go into like a fucking bar, start screaming whatever the fuck you want, and be like, oh, that's my First Amendment right. I can say whatever the fuck I want. And it's like, well, no.
Yeah.
So anyway, I think it's funny. I think, you know, if you agree to certain terms, you agree to certain terms. And if we have issues with those terms, then like capitalism allows you to not use that service. Which is ironic too, because I sound very unprogressive. I think this trends unprogressively, as you'd imagine. But like, that's just the function of capitalism, theoretically. if they're not providing consumers with good services, people will move on to an entity that does provide good service. And there's, you know, a good amount of competition in the space that the people who provide suboptimal service get kind of washed out. There's all sorts of market failures that prevent that from realistically happening, blah, 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 blah. Long story short, I find it very comical that people think they should be able to say whatever the fuck they want on Twitter.
I mean, agree. You know, I agree with that. It's you know, it's a very weird topic, right? Because like, there should be some limits set, you know, and I get it. And like,
well, the thing is, the limits are set by the company. The company defines the limits. Exactly. And you agree to those limits. And unless the company is doing something overtly illegal, like if they were only not allowing like Hispanic people to not use their platform, like there's laws that prevent that from happening, those types of prejudices, right?
Right.
You can't do that. But if the platform says like we don't allow certain types of hateful speech and it's not breaking the law and it's to the benefit of the platform, to the benefit of the consumers of the platform, I think they're perfectly allowed to do that.
Right. And that's the thing. I'm going back to like the Netflix thing, right? I'm just like, they set the terms, and whether I like it or not, me signing in and signing and saying yes to all those things, well, like, well, now I got to suck it up if I want to continue, you know, with my Netflix account. Because they're the ones, so again, they set the rules and terms, and like, yeah, they have the right to fucking say, hey, we're going to start cracking down on password sharing because everyone's doing it more often, and we, you know, our rule is don't do that. So I'm like, well, I don't have to like your rule, but fine. You know, I feel like I get to, you know, being a jerk about it, but I don't know.
I just hope the space maintains competitiveness. You know, there is some that I actually would like to have Paramount Plus for like maybe a month or two. It's not in Europe yet, but there's plenty of Star Trek stuff I would totally watch for like 2 months. You just watch like all those Star Trek TV shows.
It's overwhelming, you know, and I feel like
it is a little overwhelming, to be honest, because there's just too much. There's more things to, I mean, like there's just too much. So you have to really pick and choose and be okay skipping whatever the big thing may or may not be, unless it's like a massive thing. But I feel like those don't come along so often. The big ones, like the Game of Thrones, I would put in Mare of Easttown, kind of like that, like this thing that everyone was watching. I don't know if everyone was watching that one, but it was really, really good.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, I guess with my like / laziness and anxiety, it's like, well, I want to have access to like the major streaming platforms because I want to make sure that I will not miss out on what the next big hit's going to be. What it's going to be, you know, like you said, The Mayor of Easttown, Succession, or like Stranger Things, you know. And I can set some time to, like, you know, watch them and have access to. Like, I know what's for Disney Plus. I feel like I know that you're probably going to end up sticking with it because we're watching Moon Knight, and then we have Obi-Wan Kenobi coming out right after, you know, so.
Yeah.
And then I think it's Ms. Marvel, too, like, back to back to back for, you know.
And there's a couple movies on Disney Plus that I want to watch now, too, actually. So they did put the what is that new Bradley Cooper movie that you watched with Del Toro?
Nightmare Alley.
So that's there now. The new Gal Gadot movie. I don't know if that's on Disney Plus in America too, or if that's on Hulu. I don't even know if this is a theatrical release either, to be honest. Have you heard something at the Death of the Nile?
Oh, Death in the Nile. I've heard not the greatest things about it.
Okay. Is that theatrical? Like, I don't even know. Like, I see a movie with Gal Gadot, and I'm like, I assume this could be a theatrical, but she's also done Netflix movies, so I don't know.
So, Death in the Nile was supposed to come out in 2019, and then with COVID stuff, it just got, I don't know what happened with it, but then it just got super pushed back. And then it came out literally in February, and it didn't even last that long in the theater, just to kind of give you a sign. Okay. For that. I did watch
Nightmare Alley.
Murder in the Orient Express, which is the first one before Death in the Nile, because it's following the detective of Death in the Nile. So it is a sequel.
Okay, I didn't know that.
And I watched the first one, and it was just a, and you know, it was a fun, it was a decent murder mystery. It's definitely, it was a book slash remake from the older Murder in the Orient, Orient Express. I'm like butchering the name right now, but yeah. But I mean, honestly, like, I feel like the last really good murder mystery movie that I saw was Knives Out, that was made by Rian Johnson, which like a, which like a, was a killer cast, you know. So I think, yeah, we talked about that one too, and I think we both enjoyed it from what I remember. But yeah. So, well, that being said, man, let's get into some Moon Knight. We have gotten so far 2 episodes in, and what are your first impressions from the show?
I really like it so far. I heard someone say something that I think was at first sounded like a hot take to me, but actually could make sense. I don't know if I would agree with it, but they were trying to make the argument that this is the best Disney Plus show for a number of reasons. Specifically, they said because they very quickly define the mystery behind the show, and you're not like waiting necessarily for the mystery to be just kind of solved for you at the end. Like, you know it pretty quickly, which is interesting because it's kind of true. But I do really like this one. I have a minor nitpick about this second episode that I'm not super fond of, but that's fine. But overall, I really enjoy it.
Yeah, I'm an Oscar Isaac fan, so I'm enjoying the rebit of this show and watching him was like doing his accent while he's playing Steve Grant as a, you know, gift shop keeper. So I love how dopey his character is, and then at the end of the first episode, I just thought it was super badass when they finally start talking to each other, like his other personality, who is Mark. And that ending was just so fucking badass when you finally see him in the suit. So the buildup was great. I'm just enjoying this episode. Enjoying this series. I love in the first episode how he blacks out during some of the intense,
I like the first episode. You like that, like the back and forth, the blackout thing. I'm glad it didn't last multiple episodes. So that's great. Yeah. I think for that first episode, just the back and forth and not being able to see what was happening was really, really cool, like cinematography. Like he'd black out, wake up, and he's like blood all over his hands, gun in his hand, kind of thing. I think that was really cool. And it really did help with the buildup.
I feel like for like the feeling of the show, right? To give you an idea of like how Steve is and Mark or whatever, and then like kind of like the grimness, because from what we know, like the show's supposed to kind of be brutal, right? From how Moon Knight is, I just kind of thought it was cool the way like that driving sequence. All of a sudden, like he's trying to drive a cupcake van, and all of a sudden, boom! Like he wakes up and there's like corpses in the back. Like it was just kind of I thought it was really cool. And again, like the take that you kind of just said earlier about, you know, like I'm glad that they put everything out in the first episode of what it's going to be. I definitely can appreciate that, you know.
I'm really happy by episode 2 they defined it. I mean, like they defined a lot in episode 2. Like I was really I was a bit nervous they were going to do this back and forth for a long time and you weren't going to get to ever see Moon Knight, so, which would be fine if it's, you know, if it's well done, I suppose, like the first episode, but at the same time, it's just like, you kind of want to see it. So I thought they would do that, but I think I was surprised in the second episode. They stopped that very quickly.
That's why I was also a fan of the second episode, because like, all right, we get an idea of who, like, you know, our main character is, what he's going to, you know, what the mystery is, and like, give into like, okay, this guy has multiple personalities or, you know, dissociation or whatever. And then in the second episode, we get, you know, I like that we get Ethan Hawke in both first and second episode. And in the second episode, we start to, like, really develop what, you know, what their motives are. And I think that's really kind of, I like that they kind of gave it to us, you know, in the second episode. And it kind of reminded me back of, like, Captain America Winter Soldier, that same idea of, like, Because what Ethan Hawke is doing is, I forgot his character's name. What's his name?
Ethan Hawke's character?
Yeah.
I can't remember his name either. Arthur,
I think his name, right? Arthur Harrow. Where he has this ability to, like, judge a person, you know, if they're like a pure heart or not, or a good person or not, and like if they're not and they're going to do some evil in the future or whatever, then they'll, you know, he'll pretty much kill them off. So it gives you, and I like how they have that conversation in episode 2 about, like, well, you know, they haven't committed a crime beforehand. Is that really fair, you know, that we're prejudging before they do something? Can we, like, you know, talk to them and stop it? So I'm happy how they're, like, they're getting their ideals out. And, you know, and we kind of know where they stand and how we keep getting into, like, you know, some of the good shit in that way.
Yeah, the conversation was funny. I mean, like, Oscar Isaac puts a funny touch on it. I mean, the Grant one is, he was really goofy during that scene, but I think that one worked. The thing I will say is the Mr. Knight scene. I mean, maybe it's because I read the series that Mr. Knight was from and think he was really cool. I thought it was a little too goofy, the Mr. Knight. I assume you hadn't read that. So, like, did you think it was a little too goofy, or did you like that, the suited Mr. Knight?
I enjoyed it. I was a fan because, like, I liked the internal struggle of what Steve and Mark trying to, like, you know, who's trying to be in control. And then, what's it called? I just love the back and forth of that, you know? So the goofiness, I enjoyed that. It was a good gimmick that I felt that I enjoyed, that, like, oh, you want me to put the suit on? And so the idea was, like, oh, an actual, like, you know, nice suit with superpowers, you know? So I thought it was, I dug it, you know?
Okay.
So, yeah.
It was fine. I mean, like, the second I realized they were changing it up a bit, I was like, well, okay, whatever. I get it. But I would have maybe preferred something else, but that's okay. You have to change these things. They have to streamline them into ways that they think make sense for the story. I mean, the Stephen Grant character, I think, is quite different than, I mean, I actually think this is interesting. I think the Stephen Grant one is not the real one. I think Mark Spector is the real one. Stephen Grant thinks he's the real one, and he's not.
No, totally. And I think we're being fed a little bit of that when Layla comes in the first episode and comes in to, like, talk to Mark, not Steve, or Steven with a V, right? So I definitely see that. And, like, here's what I should have asked you too. Like, I'm coming in blind, not knowing Moon Knight's character, and I think I'm enjoying kind of being blind and knowing this version of it. So have you read it? Like, I'm assuming you've read some Moon Knight comics.
I've read a bit. I mean, like, it very modern, like all post 2010, I think, appearances of Moon Knight. So very limited. I mean, I think the character's probably, well, I don't know if he's changed a lot. I mean, like, he was originally intended, they wanted a Batman character, I think. That was the intention. Because I think traditionally, like, Stephen Grant is a billionaire too. And he's very, like, he's often not depicted to have superpowers, really. He's just, like, really good at fighting, like Batman is. I think maybe he gets some kind of mystic powers, though, from Khonshu. I think Khonshu was portrayed really cool. I mean, like, I don't know if he's always looked like that, but he looks like that in the modern ones. So that, I think it looks cool. There's a third personality, too, that exists that I assume they may reveal.
Got it. Again, I mean, that's what I'm waiting for. I think, yeah, it was like dissociative order. I'm still picturing that the mental illness name, which I should not.
Dissociative personality disorder?
Yeah, dissociative.
I mean, it's DID, dissociative.
Yeah,
it's DID. Dissociative identity disorder. Yeah.
That's it. Thank you, Andrew. Again, I will apologize for my fog brain. I'm coming into this blind, like, I kind of have that feeling that Steven isn't, right, our main personality, right? And I the feeling that I get, it definitely is Mark. And for what we don't, you know, and we don't know Mark, who he is, right? Because we kind of just see him, like, hey, let me take over, blah, blah, blah. So for all we know is that, like, in Mark's world, he can be actually rich and the billionaire, you know, we just don't know. Probably why he was able to, like,
yeah, that's true. They could have combined that. You never know. So we'll see how this all unfolds. I mean, there's some there's some things, like, I don't think his mom exists. Like, you know, he's on the phone, and you already kind of see that. That's a red herring. There's something weird there going on.
Mm-hmm.
The fish thing was, you know, there's something going on there, and so. But I like it a lot. I think it's really good. I mean, like, it's interesting that, like, it's. I think the thing that I'm curious to see is if they're trying to build this, like, I think it's, like, called the Midnight Society or something. There's, like, a group of, like, kind of mystical Avengers that I think they're trying to form, which would be, like, Moon Knight, Blade, and Black Knight. And they're all in the UK, which is, right, you can, like, they're trying to do something, I think. Because Black Knight, who was John's character.
Kit Harington.
Yeah, so he's also in the UK, right? Because we saw that in Eternals. Mm-hmm. And Blade supposedly talked to him. So Blade presumably is maybe going to be taking place in the UK. So I don't know. It seems like they're trying to go with that. Or they're trying to build something there, at least. Or leave the door open for some maybe TV show or movie or something.
Right. I mean, if they're leading up to that, man, arms open, I would be 100% down for that. Just to kind of see a... Blade and whatnot come into this world. I'm waiting for Mahershala Ali's Blade to come in because I'm super excited for him to portray Blade. And I'm a fan of Kit Harington, so having him be Black Knight, and then if Oscar Isaac continues, so Oscar Isaac kind of stated saying, I've only signed up to do the show. So I don't know what that means, whether he's just like kind of either deceiving us, right? Because Marvel's like, hey, you might come into
you never know. I mean, like, you know, Kevin Feige, when he threatens you, you know, those are serious threats. I'd rather get, like, a threat maybe from, like, the mob at this point than from Kevin Feige.
Seriously, yeah. I feel like it's Marvel mob is way scarier than just any regular mob, especially with Kevin Feige being in the...
Yeah. His security that he's probably got on the phone constantly monitoring, like, Tom Holland and stuff was... I'm sure
it's a joke. I legit now that the multiverse is real, Andrew, because I feel like actors who have broke the role in this universe were disappearing, and so we had to, like, legit pull actors' variants from other multiverses to get them to finish the projects. So I feel like that's how powerful and scary Kevin Feige is. So I wouldn't fuck with him. We love you, Kevin Feige, if you are listening to this.
I'm sure he's listening.
But no, he Oscar Isaac's like, yeah, I'm only signing up for a TV show, so and we'll see. I mean, people are liking this show, and I'm digging it, and if it, like, continues to be in this role, I'm gonna be sad to see it end, but, you know, we'll see what happens, what this brings. Cool. Any other things you want to mention about Moon Knight before going on to our first movie?
Nope, still solid. 4 more episodes left, so very excited.
All right, cool. All right, let's get into Sonic the Hedgehog 2. Man, where do we even start with this, man? Like, we got Jeff Fowler as the director. We have an amazing cast James Marsden, I can't even pronounce his last name. I like him as Tom, Wachowski or whatever. I like how he's been doing a lot of, like, random kids shows or movies with, like, animated, like, characters. I don't know why. I forgot what movie he was in, but he does a really good job. And then Jim Carrey killing it as Dr. Robotnik. Ben Schwartz as Sonic, still amazing. In this particular movie we get Idris Elba as my personal favorite Knuckles, my favorite Sonic character as Knuckles. So
yeah. It's a strong cast, especially for what you'd imagine as a Sonic TV show. I mean, like, the only other video game movie that has a stronger cast is somehow now Mario. But that's unheard of, the casting for that. So,
did I tell you, Andrew, that later on Chris Pratt is going to start voicing my character on our podcast?
I didn't know that. You got Chris Pratt?
I just wanted to make that name joke because there's been a bunch of jokes of like, Chris Pratt's not going to start, you know, a voice, you know. You know what I mean. Damn it, Andy.
He's going to do everything.
Okay. He's going to just voice act everything.
Well, I'm sure they're leading up to the eventual crossover with that Mario movie. So we can talk about that at the end.
Oh, yeah. I'm glad that we continue with our Super Smash Brothers movie idea, which hopefully if people are hearing it, it'll get passed on and they'll green light it. I will volunteer to write it. If, you know, it won't be good, but I will volunteer myself.
let's dig into the movie.
So to kind of give what's the plot here from IMDb, when Manic Dr. Robotnik returns to Earth with a new ally, Knuckles. I can't even pronounce that word. Knuckles the Echidna, Sonic, and his new friend Tails is all that stands in their way. So there's this Chaos Gem. If you play the video games, it's what you're always aiming for. That like gives you all this power. Knuckles wants to like return it to his, you know, family and his people. But Dr. Robotnik convinces him to work with him. And so they're on this journey back to Earth to get this. And Knuckles runs into Tails and they go into a fantastic adventure. What were your first thoughts about this? And by the way, we're going to probably just spoil this and get into everything. So spoils.
I mean, I'm still quite impressed. I think it's still a really good movie, stronger than you'd probably imagine. Like, I felt the same way about the first one. Like, I walked into that movie and I was like, oh, that was really good. And my only annoyance was like, oh, get rid of the humans. Like, they're totally useless. Like, they don't do anything. But everything else was cool, so that's fine. And my, like, it's the same opinion here. Like, I see this and I'm like, this was a really cool movie again. And, you know, the thing I appreciated the most about it was that they went all in on Dr. Robotnik. That was great. And I'm glad they got to do that, because even though Jim Carrey's original Dr. Robotnik was great, I loved to see at the end that they were going to go all in on the ridiculous, like, you know, crazy version. We got that peak with the mustache and everything. And I'm glad that they introduced two characters instead of like the piecemeal one by one. Like, they would have been very easy for them to be like, okay, sequel will do just Tails, and then the third one will do Knuckles, right? One by one instead. So I like that they just did both. And they're just like, well, throw them both in. That's great. It still looks cool. It's funny. It's it's a kid's movie through and through. I still think the humans are largely useless, but whatever.
I mean, obviously, you know, we need some kind of, like, I don't even want to say it's like relatability, right?
I get what they're doing, because Sonic's in the real world. So, like, if Sonic is in the real world, you have to ground him to a real entity. Because otherwise, it's like, why the fuck does this movie take place on Earth?
Not true, 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 true.
It's not easy.
I guess I was definitely having fun with like the side stuff that they were doing, you know, with, you know, the wedding stuff and like all the FBI character, you know, coming out, and like it wasn't an actual like wedding or whatever. I thought it was kind of fun side stuff to like the lead up of going back to like the Sonic stuff. But dude, you know what I wanted to ask you? Like, I think it's incredible that like Sonic right now, I feel like, are my favorite video game movies.
I think it's pretty funny.
Yeah. I think it's like, last year we got Mortal Kombat, right?
I forgot.
We don't think about it, but this is like, if you were to ask me, you want to watch Sonic 2 or Mortal Kombat? And I'm like, give me that Sonic 2. This movie was just such, it was just such a fun ride. I enjoyed like, just the characters were really fun. The plot was just, it was straightforward. It was good. The callbacks to like the video game stuff and everything, like, was just, I just thought it was just well done.
Yeah, like I, I appreciated all the video game callbacks. I think Knuckles, they did Knuckles really well. I mean, like, I thought he was really funny. I like how, like, just overly serious he was with the mission and everything. And, I liked how strong he was. Because, I mean, like, Knuckles is badass. I mean, like, I always wanted to play as Knuckles. So, like, on that third, you know, Sonic and Knuckles game, when you're going to actually play as him, you're like, oh, this is kick-ass. Like, Knuckles is way cooler, you know?
He was always I don't know if I was a kid and I was always like attracted to like the color red. It's my favorite, you know, one of my favorite colors. So I like, as a kid, I always like wanted Knuckles, and like my brother would probably, you know, would do the Sonic side, because he played most of the video games once I was growing up. So I didn't get to experience much of the Sonic video games as much as I wish I would have had. But still, Sonic was like, or Knuckles was always like my favorite. Added like the bunch of the Sonic characters.
Yeah, I think this one felt more video gamey too. They had the Chaos Emeralds in it. That was super cool. They had Dr. Robotnik going nuts with the robots and his mustache and everything. Kind of more areas that looked more reminiscent to the games. Like, they had that the dungeon at the very end. That looked more Sonic-y. I thought it was awesome that they had the little bubble that he grabbed. Like, it's such a small, weird Easter egg, but I kept thinking the whole time when he was underwater. I was like, dude, grab a bubble. Like, because in the video games, when you're underwater, right, you have to find the bubbles, and it makes that sound.
I was waiting for the sound, that like, anxiety-inducing sound to come on, but I'm glad it didn't do it.
The dun-dun-dun-dun, like, mean, that blinking sound, where you're like, oh, shit, I only have a few seconds left.
Right, because I feel like that was one of the first experiences in watching, you know, like, again, watching my brother play a video game, where, like, you feel the panic when you hear that tone. I can't even, like, make the noise of it, but, like, you can sense the panic of, like, oh, God, I'm about to die if I don't get a bubble, or, you know, I'm just going to drown. So I appreciated, like you said, like, I appreciated, like, the little Easter eggs of, like, you know, taking in the air bubble and all that kind of deal. But yeah, I just think it was hilarious too that we get to see like this beautiful dungeon, you know, like that they were running through. And as soon as Sonic gets there, he just like bashes through the whole thing. So again, a lot of little things I appreciated from watching this.
I like the Chaos Emeralds were not in the last one, right?
No. I think because I think like last time it was kind of like a fish out of the water kind of story.
Yeah, it's just, you know, like, I have Sonic to stop thing. Dr. Robotnik, because Dr. Robotnik is attacking me, pretty much.
Yeah, exactly. Which I thought was, again, it was a good simple like star plot, and all of a sudden, you know, at the end we get like the cool end credit of like Tails coming in, you know, leading into like what we have in the sequel.
Yeah.
I'll go for it.
No, you go for it.
No, I was just going to praise Idris Elba again for playing Knuckles, and like, it was just a great fitting voice for Knuckles.
Yeah, I think that fit well. And I like that you had the supersonic thing. And once you get revealed that there is the emeralds, you're like, oh, shit, we're going to see supersonic at the end. That was cool. That's also a very hard thing. I feel like I never actually got that as a child, because you have to like beat the game, and then on the way to beating the game, you have to actually get all the emeralds. And at some point in time, if you haven't gotten enough of them, you're just screwed, right? So you're like, okay, well, you're not going to get it at the end of this play.
Yeah. I can never, again, probably like why I was never good at these games. I just like had fun watching them. But yeah, these platforming games and all that they just seemed incredibly hard. I think I tried playing one of the Sonic games on my PlayStation, and I did not get that far.
No, they're hard. Like, you have to memorize the levels, because you'll just run so fast and you'll run to a spike. Or like the ones that I really hate, or like you have two platforms that are moving together and it sandwiches you, and you're just like, I was playing Sonic Mania yesterday because I almost beat the game. I was on the last level, I think, and I played it for like 20 minutes, and then I got sandwiched like twice. And the thing that I hate about Sonic Mania is like, you only get three, at least as far as I've always known, you only get three lives per go. And you have to beat three levels plus the boss with those three lives. And like this last one, like, I can't do it. And I just I don't even care at this point. I'm just like, I wish there's a setting I could just turn on unlimited lives, because like, I don't care about trying to memorize all the levels. And you know, if you get that stupid smush thing, right? It's just like this frustrating like thing where it's just like, I just got smushed because I was too like a second too close, and I was like, okay, fuck this. I'm not gonna spend another 30 minutes doing all the easy stuff just so I can get to the very end and try again.
Oh, man, I cannot tell you about the From Software games. I can go on a whole hour tangent about those stupid games. They're not stupid, but but I suffer through them.
No,
Anyways,
it's
but
tough
no.
because I think the new trend more so now is like the really hard games that I like are the ones that have a high turnover. If there's a really, really high turnover, I will keep going. That's fine. But what I hate is like I have to go back and sift through 20 minutes of stuff to get to that hard part. Like that I
Right.
find annoying and
Yeah.
frustrating because of the time. It's just too much time. I don't have that, you know?
That is true. That is true. But man, no, what was I gonna say? Yeah, I again like the lead up to freaking Golden or Supersonic, just kind of just bashing through it. It felt so rewarding, you know. And I feel like it, like sometimes like you can kind of, I mean, you can see when things are coming, right? But like, again, I appreciated how they rewarded it and prevented it or whatever. And I don't know, I had a blast. And Jim Carrey's energy with Dr. Robotnik was just amazing. And again, it's like peak creative Jim Carrey.
And this
But
is
sadly,
theoretically his last movie.
he's saying he's gonna, yeah, that like he's gonna retire. I'm hoping he, you know. Did they lead up to like, I don't remember, like in the post credits that, yeah, so let's get into the post credit real quick. In the post credit that we see them showing one of my other favorite characters is Shadow Sonic, which is another I think it is a villain, right? For
Yes, yeah,
Sonic.
I think it's from the Dreamcast Sonic game, which was really
Right.
good. The only, well, the best 3D Sonic game. Some of the other ones are okay, I guess.
So they kind of show that, like, and I love how they're adding like a new characters each time, and like I like and, like we see, obviously, obviously they added like the main ones like Tails and Knuckles, but as we see, like they showed Shadow Sonic, so I'm hoping that was like how well this movie did that they'll greenlight, make it a trilogy and greenlight this third one with Jim Carrey, you know, coming back for one last time. But
I
yeah,
told
I
you,
feel
Andy, but there's
like
a huge list of characters they can go through. I'm like I said, I'm really hoping. I got my fingers crossed the most for Big the Cat.
the cat. Okay, who else? Let's keep it going.
Big the Cat, Amy the Hedgehog. Amy would be good.
Okay.
What else
Okay.
we got in here? Silver the Hedgehog. I'm just reading them. Metal Sonic. That might be a little less impressive now that we have Shadow though. Cream the
Right,
Rabbit.
right.
There's a chameleon character. There's a cat character, not big, another cat. There, the chows, those little guys, they're cute. There's a hawk. Just gotta keep going. Ooh, the flying squirrel one. There's another echidna. There's a badger. Honey the cat. Vector the crocodile. Chaos is a villain. There's a bee. Cosmo. So, there's an armadillo too. Mighty the armadillo. So there's a lot.
Okay. Well, then, I mean, all right, give me five more Sonic movies. I'm down. I will sit through them. If they're as fun as like these first two, I will happily watch them. I don't care. I'll
Okay,
be
but
a
here.
45-year-old man later on, and I'll continue watching them.
And then here's the question. I'm wondering, do you think that the Mario movie is going to be similar to this in that it's going to have Mario very briefly at the beginning as a cartoon, and then he gets pulled into the real world as Chris Pratt?
So does Mario become Chris Pratt? Like he embodies Chris Pratt's body, and so we see Chris Pratt doing Chris Pratt stuff, but as Mario?
We see because I think the thing is that there's a lot of people or there's a lot of speculation that Chris Pratt isn't really going to have an accent in the movie. So one way you could do that is Mario gets pulled into the real world and just doesn't have an accent. So it could be a cartoon. So it could be like a Roger Rabbit, like Sonic cartoon version of Mario, which is Chris Pratt's voice, or it could just be Chris Pratt somehow. I mean, it is, he said they're doing the voice. So let's go with voice, but that he gets pulled into the real world in a similar fashion and his voice changes for whatever reason. Or his voice is just Chris Pratt's voice, maybe.
I mean, so let me ask you this question, right? Because Mario was made like around 1988 or 89, right? I forgot like what when it first or 88. I forgot.
We talking about Mario or we're talking about Donkey Kong? Mario was in Donkey Kong. He was Jumpman first. Or the just the first Mario for the NES.
Or you know, he was an Italian plumber, right? And when we did have first get his voices, like, you know, he would say like it's a me and Mario with like an Italian accent. So would we want a cartoon or a movie with like an Italian accent like that throughout the whole movie? Would it kind of, I guess my question is like, would it be kind of racist if we had him, if we had like, you know, Mario?
It could very easily be perceived that way. I'm sure there's people who could perceive it that way. I mean, it depends on, I don't know. It depends on the execution probably.
Right.
What were the accents like from the original movie, the 90s one? Were they like just like Sicilian mob level, like stereotypical?
I think it was, but they didn't have like the Italian, they were more like a New Yorker Italian accent. So there was John Leguizamo, and I don't remember the other, I forgot his name, but he was the main guy from Who Framed Roger Rabbit, that actor. Who played Mario. So Sam and John Leguizamo, who played Mario and Luigi. But yeah, they didn't really have to care about accents or whatever. They're just two plumbers that got sucked into like this weird mushroom world. But yeah, obviously we're going to watch it and see what they bring into light and whether we're going to get like, you know, a story of like Princess Peach getting, or Princess Daisy getting kidnapped and whatnot, or they're going to try to do something, you know, I don't want to say more original, but, you know, spin it a different way, you know.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm curious if the whole thing is actually going to be animated or not. That's my first curiosity now. Maybe it is. They've always advertised it as an animated movie, but who knows?
True. Well, yeah, we'll see what they bring. I mean, I'm up for it because besides Chris Pratt, we have, like, a killer cast. You know, my favorite pull from the cast is Jack Black being Bowser. Is my favorite, and then Charlie Day being Luigi. So
Seth Rogen as Donkey Kong is really inspirational casting.
I'm a fan of, yeah, like that totally is fitting. So I'm a big fan of, again, the cast that they're pulling. It's a killer cast. Anatanael Joyd, or I'm butchering all the names today. Again, apologies. Anna Taylor-Joy. She's going to be playing Princess Daisy or Peach. One of the princesses.
No, she's Peach. They're doing Peach.
Yeah. So, and she's been killing it in everything she's been in, from like Laughing in Soho and Queen's Gambit, all this kind of stuff. So I'm excited to see her get into some voice acting. But yeah, like I'm just excited for the cast. It's just, it looks amazing. So, yeah, we'll see what they bring to the table, you know, because I could definitely see, again, it was like Charlie Day being Luigi. Do you feel like they're going to make him have, you know, an Italian accent? I can picture.
I have no idea. Like, I truly have no idea the direction they're going to go with this movie. And I'm very excited to see that first preview of it whenever that happens. And now, like I said, I'm sure someone sent someone an email at least once to ask about some kind of crossover. This must have been a sent email or at least a conversation, because if it is somehow pseudo live action, you could do that. That would be awesome.
I mean, we got a mushroom world at the end of the first Sonic movie, right? So anything is possible. And thinking of that, it just reminded me of the scene of Jim Carrey trying to make coffee out of mushroom. And that sounds disgusting. I don't know why that came to mind. But anyways. Back to Sonic, like, I had a blast with it. I don't, like, it'd be kind of cool to like, check out to see what to do, you know, a crossover multiverse thing and make it into a Smash Brothers movie or whatever. Because again, we got, we had a a Pokemon movie, live action Pokemon movie happened. So, and now we had a Sonic one, and we're getting a Mario one possibly, and all we need is a Metroid and Zelda for main characters, right? Or who? What other? I guess like what other Nintendo video game character would you want to see portrayed in the big screen?
Nintendo?
I guess Nintendo, or like, yeah, or one of the classic video game characters.
Sonic, Mario. I still want that Mortal Kombat Street Fighter crossover. So I think you reboot, yeah, reboot Street Fighter.
I'll get on it. Again, hey, Capcom, you want me to write a script for you guys, let me know. And I will volunteer. I promise it will be better than the Jean-Claude Van Damme and Chun-Li live action. No, to be honest, man, I have actually thought about wanting to write a live action Street Fighter movie, because I think I love some of the characters, and like we've only gotten good anime, some good anime movies from them, but we have not gotten a good live action. Even Mortal Kombat, man, it was so simple. All you need to do is freaking tournament. Sorry, okay.
Andy, we're gonna pause this for 1 second, okay?
Oh, okay, no worries. Yeah.
Okay, no problem. Makes sense. Okay, you want to just shift to Morbius and I'll edit this?
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Let me pick it up. Tell me when you start recording again.
Still recording, Andy. It's always recording.
Okay. Fair enough. Anyways, all right. Let's do our final movie, which is Morbius. So, hey, Andrew, what did you enjoy more, Morbius or Sonic 2?
Definitely Sonic. I mean, I think you knew going in you were going to enjoy Sonic more, right?
Okay, so let me pull something out real quick. I'm going to look at our messages and you're like, hey, I'm going to go see it tomorrow afternoon. And the first thing that you said to me after finishing it was like, well, that was weird. As your initial first thought of the movie. So
the movie's really weird. I mean, I don't want to say it's bad. I mean, like, it is bad, but it's also just very weird.
So, and this is why I wanted to say it for last, right? Because, like, while we're recording, I'm like, dude, I feel like I'm gonna have more of a soap opera, more of a soapbox thing and more emotional response to Morbius than I did with Sonic because of, like, again, like, I feel like I have a special place in my heart for, like, the whole Spider-Man franchise IP stuff, you know. So I was gonna ask you, and I feel like I don't know if this is gonna be called like gatekeeping, right? You know, because like it's fine to rework characters to develop them in a unique way, right? Like, give you an example, the Vulture, right? In the comics / video games or whatever, he is an old man who uses some kind of like weapon or whatever to like literally suck the life out of people to become younger, like a vulture, right? So he, like, you know, and had, you know, wings or whatever. But in Spider-Man Homecoming, the Vulture, like the character, Michael Keaton's character, is for a living is a blue collar worker who makes a living off of taking scraps of dead machinery and reselling it or whatever, like a vulture does with dead carcasses, like eats scraps from dead bodies, which that was a very genius thing to do for, you know, a modernized vulture character in the way that they like wrote it out in the Homecoming movie. So here's the thing about Morbius, right? Like just when Morbius was presented in the comics books, right? He was presented as a misunderstood villain. Not anti-hero, from what I remember. Maybe, Andrew, maybe you can correct me if I was wrong, but I got most of my ideas of Morbius, or like, or my first like introduction to Morbius in the Spider-Man 90s animated show, where he was a scientist working, and like something went wrong with like them doing experiments on a bat, which then he became a vampire, which in the, you know, cartoon show he needed plasma, which aka is blood, and you know, he was a misunderstood villain who Spider-Man didn't want to, like, you know, try to go, like, he didn't want him killed or anything like that. He just wanted to, like, help him get better and all that kind of deal. They do work together at some point, I think. I don't remember, you know, but, like, it was very, very small. But I don't remember if it was, like, but they also had Blade involved because vampire, you know?
Vampire. I mean, I've never read, I don't think I've ever read a Morbius appearance, to be perfectly honest. I mean, like, I don't read a lot of modern Spider-Man anymore, to be honest, either. And I just don't think he's ever popped up in anything I've read. So it was like a pretty blank spot for me. I mean, and clearly, I mean, like, Sony only has access to so many characters. Morbius is probably, I mean, like, this is saying a lot, though, right? Morbius is probably one of the better ones they have access to, I guess.
I don't even see, look, okay, here is my, okay, so obviously I did not enjoy Morbius, which was heartbreaking and not surprising. But here's the thing, I don't know, I feel why I feel so passionate about it is because I feel like they're not, I don't want to say they're not respecting, you know, the Spider-Man IP, but it's just
no. They're just. I mean, they're making movies in a different way than Marvel Studios, right? Like they're making. I mean, they're making movies with the characters they have access to in an attempt to make a cinematic universe, probably underestimating the amount of effort that requires, right? Like you can't just make a cinematic universe out of thin air. I was talking about this yesterday too with someone and. I know people like to kind of shit on Marvel now sometimes, or not shit on them, but just be like, oh, I don't really care anymore because it's all the same thing over and over again, and we know the style of movie they make. But like what they've done is still very unprecedented, right? No one has united a relatively seamless storyline through like what 20 plus movies now. Everyone has made the attempt to copy it. DC has failed miserably trying to copy it. Sony also largely failing. I think the only other entity that's really doing it well is Star Wars, which is now also under Disney and has the same people who are doing the Marvel stuff doing the Star Wars stuff. And then in clear third place, you probably have Harry Potter, which even then is probably not performing the way they wish it was performing. Like, I don't think people are running out to see the new Harry Potter movies like they were the original seven, right?
Yeah, they were not. I saw... The first Fantastic Beasts was decent. The next one was not so great.
And they just had a third one come out too, didn't they, right?
It's coming out. The third one's coming out, yeah.
Yeah. So it's like no one can do this. No one knows how to do this. Everyone wants to do it because it's you know, generating a lot of storytelling potential for Disney. And I think everyone just underestimates it. I think that's the problem. Everyone underestimates it. They try to do it and it fails. Sony's no different. They're trying to do it. They're like, oh, okay, like whatever. Like, we'll, you know, we'll trick people with the previews into thinking that this is going to be related to Spider-Man. It's not. They cut all that stuff out of the movie.
They made
a movie that didn't even make sense. The movie doesn't make sense. There's so many parts of the movie that literally don't make sense. I could point them out.
Yeah. And we'll get to that in a bit. I kind of just wanted to kind of also point out real quick about, like, Maybe I can wait after, but just the way that, like, the approach to it, right? They're trying to scrape stuff that they shouldn't, right? Or I feel like I just disagree in the way that they are introducing these characters.
They're just doing it poorly, I think, and it's hard to know why they're doing it poorly without knowing how they're made.
But it makes it look so bad. It just makes it look like Sony only wants your money. You know what I mean? Because they have the associated with Marvel tagged on their label, and because they have Spider-Man related to it. And then to deceive the audience was like, oh, we have Michael Keaton who's going to be like kind of a big part of the movie. Oh, we have a picture of like Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man suit in the background. So, ooh, what does that mean? You know what I mean? So I as an audience do not appreciate kind of being deceived like that one. And two, like there has to be a better way of introducing a character, you know? But, like, the thing is also, you know, I feel like Sony didn't really talk to Marvel what was their plans of how to make, doing the post-credit scene was, you know, Michael Keaton and all that kind of deal.
Honestly, I think they did talk to Marvel, and I think Marvel made them edit this. This is wild speculation. Wild speculation.
Okay.
I think that they had some kind of agreement that they could use Spider-Man and they could use the Vulture. They put those in the previews. I think people at Disney or someone at Marvel saw the movie when it was the final cut or something, or like halfway through or whatever, and was like, you know what, you have to change this. We have to pull that out or something. And I think maybe that was required to change it, because otherwise, like, the editing of this movie is pretty bad too, and it makes it look like they had to make some strange editing decisions for some reason, because the movie's not long. It's an hour and a half, which is, you know, less than you'd expect for something like this. I think it transitions very strangely. Strange decisions are made by the characters in the movie, so that makes me think there is an editing problem. They literally took out the scene with Michael Keaton that was in the trailer that probably attracted a lot of attention. Where, like, his... Because I don't think Michael Keaton was ever actually on screen with Morbius, because he was in costume at the end, so that clearly wasn't him. Michael Keaton some random scene. They filmed him in some random scene and then stuck that on the end.
Yeah. So also, I think what screwed up a lot of the plans too was I think it was some of the changes in the release schedule of Marvel, right? Because I guess, you know, Spider-Man came, I think Multiverse of Madness was supposed to come out before Spider-Man. But once they got, like, you know, yes, Tom Holland, just to, you know, that, and I think Morbius was supposed to come before all that too. I'm not, you know, there was a shift in order of movies that have changed, and then that kind of, like, not screwed necessarily. I mean, it screwed Morbius over, I think, but it might have actually helped improve the Multiverse of Madness, which I'm hoping it did, you know. Because after Spider-Man No Way Home, they did a bunch of reshoots for the Multiverse of Madness. So I'm only excited to see what new ideas and inspiration came out of that. So it just, again, with Sony, it just makes me feel like Sony's only after just cashing out what they can out of the cash cow instead of trying to find a good, greater way. You know,
I think everyone's only interested in cashing out, to be honest. I just think Marvel does it in a way that's entertaining. I think there are people who made this movie who really deeply care about it. I'm sure Jared Leto I'm sure he put in everything he could into it. But I mean, like, at the end of the day, if you have people who are just, I don't know, I don't like less creative, access to less IP, less time, less money.
Let me tell you who the writers were for The writers who wrote the script for this movie were the same writers who wrote the movie The Gods of Egypt.
I don't know that movie.
Yeah, it didn't do well, and it was poorly received by critics and audience. So, and again, like, either there's like a weird investment issues to rush things out, because again, when Marvel does this, their shit, yeah, it's cash grabbing, sure, but their investment style and the way of, like, putting things out, it's way smarter than what Sony's doing right now, if I'm being brutally honest.
It is smarter. It's better. And the thing that, at least, I mean, the only way DC combats any of this is because occasionally they'll just let a director with a very specific vision just go for it, right? All of the good DC stuff is just when they just let the director go for it, you know. Joker, the new Batman movie, Peacemaker.
Yep.
All of those things have a very unique vision that was created by a director or like a producer or a writer or something, and they just let them go with it. Whenever they tried to do the cinematic universe, it didn't come off well. Like, whatever Zack Snyder's intended larger universe was, I think largely failed, right? You know, like, I mean, like, it was dead in the water by Batman v Superman, I think.
Yeah, it wasn't, and again, it wasn't well received, and there, a bunch of stuff happened. And again, like, and I say all this stuff out of the love for the Spider-Man universe, you know. Again, I wish I was, you know, on the team to, like, producing team, like, hey, how should we approach, you know, the IP for Spider-Man? I'm like, dude, we have an untouched, we have now, like, thinking. Marvel again, we have now Andrew Garfield, who's still interested in playing Spider-Man. Either bring him, bring him back into live action, and then introduce Morbius that way, or introduce any of the other characters that way, right?
Like, you make this all happen in that universe. You could say all, like, Venom and this movie happened in the Andrew Garfield universe.
Exactly. And what we haven't touched, two other Spider-Mans that are huge in the comics, which is Spider-Man 2099, right? And we have not touched a live-action Miles Morales movie, which those was the right.
I think Marvel's got their hands on that live-action Miles.
You think so?
Totally, totally. They have. He's on the board. He's on. You know, he's definitely on Kevin Feige's murder board somewhere.
Sure.
I wouldn't be surprised if he's at like the center of something, right?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised because he's going to be the next big thing. Yeah, I wouldn't. Yeah, but even then, like, if Sony still owns the rights to Spider-Man and they were kind of got creative and like how to make it like, you know, make sense, I feel like those two options or three options wouldn't be such a bad option. And to get
people good who options. Are passionate, I mean, they about tried. It. The reason they even went with the Marvel stuff is because the Andrew Garfield ones also largely failed, right? Like they went to Marvel and made that deal because those movies didn't work out. So it's like, for whatever reason, even when they did them on their own, they still just by comparison to other movies made by Marvel just didn't look as good and didn't make as much money. Okay, but I think we should talk about a couple things that we did like, specifically about the movie.
Okay, go for it.
I like the intro. I think I like Jared Leto's interpretation of the character. I think it was weirdly edited, but I do like his motivation, and I think if you flesh that out a little bit, it could have been this really interesting story about him fighting bloodlust and trying to protect his friend from that same bloodlust. I think his motivation was actually like well laid out in the beginning, and it was like scientifically, it's always silly, but I think it, you know, some of it made sense. They did my biggest scientific pet peeve, but it's highly specific.
Please highly share. Specific.
They said splice DNA, and this is a deep cut, but you don't splice DNA. And everyone knows what RNA is now, so now I expect people to know this now. You splice RNA. RNA is the only molecule that is spliced. The reason RNA is the only molecule that is spliced is because there is a protein RNA complex inside of our cells called the spliceosome. And the spliceosome, solely because of its naming, is the thing that splices stuff. So spliceosomes only function on RNA, and because spliceosomes only function on RNA, it is technically only correct to say RNA can be spliced. DNA cannot be spliced. There are other enzymes that facilitate the recombination of different DNA pieces with one another. Those are actually called recombinases because scientists are so creative in their naming mechanisms. So you could say DNA is recombined. You could say DNA is CRISPRed because there's an enzyme that facilitates it called you know, there's a process at least called CRISPR. The enzyme's not named it, but that's the process. So I find that very annoying, but like this is a deep cut, right? Like I wrote a thesis on the spliceosome, so like I get very annoyed when people say splice DNA. But yeah. I think we live in a world now where everyone knows what RNA is. So like I'm going to push that out into the world now. Let's be a little better, everyone.
Educate, man, enlighten us, because
but anyway, I like the motivation. You know, this guy who's like, he's really sick his whole life. I think there were some funny parts in there. He didn't take the Nobel Prize. That was funny. He becomes a really prolific scientist. You know, the gene therapy thing he's trying to do is it's feasible, and they kind of explained it in an interesting way. I think if you gave him like maybe 10 more minutes there, it could have been like a really cool intro. And then I think if you really highlight the bloodlust, and because I just, there was no time for him to explain to his friends, like, I can't make any more of these. Like, I shouldn't have done this. I realize this is a mistake. Like, it changes so fast. Once Michael Morbius is turned into a vampire, plus then his friend finds out, like, he just doesn't take any time to explain to him what kind of curse this is and how badly he feels about, like, the people he's murdered, right? So it moves too quickly. You don't have time to develop that relationship with a friend and then kind of turn them into enemies and then kind of turn them into this, like, they're fighting one another, but they don't want to fight one another kind of thing. I think that could have been a really interesting, cool story, but it's just, like, There's none. They didn't do it.
It was either like we talked about before, the editing, the writing, all these things that like just really did not make sense when it came to like the execution of this movie, right?
Yeah.
I honestly feel terrible because I'm just going to be brutalizing, you know, this movie. Because I just didn't appreciate some of the stuff that they also mentioned. Just kind of like, oh, we're going to have kids really be clownish bullies, you know?
It's really stereotypical. That was really stereotypical, yeah.
You know, and I just didn't, you know. And then, like, the approach on someone with a disability, like, I guess I'm more sensitive to that nowadays because I'm like, let's see how they really approach, you know, this or whatever, and turn them into a villain or whatever. And, like, what didn't make sense to either is just, like, the Matt Smith's character, I forgot his name. Matt Smith's character, who is Milo, he's like, let's work together. And then he attacks him. Like, he's constantly attacking him. Not like, oh, I don't want to fight you. You know what I mean? So it's just like...
Yeah, that relationship really could have been... It really could have been this interesting back and forth. Like, I don't want to fight you, but I'm going to fight you because I don't want to die. And then Michael being like, no, like, I don't want to make another one. Right. So that was weird. So I will say, I like the cops. I think those two cops were... I mean, there's all sorts of weird things about these cops. Like, it doesn't make any sense. It makes no sense that there's a theoretical vampire in the world. And, you know, like, you just got these two cops on it. Like, these two cops are the guys on it. They're on the case. And, like, you don't bring in the FBI. You don't bring in more cops. It's just, like, these two guys for the longest time. But the one cop with the mustache always had these, like, really weird comments he was saying. Like, he comes in. He's like, you're never going to catch this. They're drained of their blood. And he's like... It's like, you should be terrified of that, man. But he says it in this kind of like comedic, sarcastic tone.
I appreciate that. I forgot he was a part of the Daily Show back in the day. I think
he was the best thing about this whole movie. I just thought their tone. It didn't fit at all because it was just like too sarcastic and too ridiculous. But every time they showed up, I really thought it was funny. There's so many weird decisions. So they literally see him as a vampire. Like, they actually see him, like, fly up a flight of stairs. And then they take him to prison. Why do they do that? They know he has powers. And then he comes in with a silly holy water. And I was like, dude, this guy's going to break out of those cuffs. Like, why isn't he in, like a fucking room with, like, you know, like, I don't know, some kind of like crazy straitjacket, like tied to a table. Like, he's just got these shitty handcuffs on. Like, you just saw him fly.
I mean, it's probably for character too, though. Like, you know, if we want to perceive Morbius as a decent character, he's gonna comply when he's captured, right?
Yeah, but like, it undermines it makes it seem like there's an editing problem, right? Because it makes it seem like there's a story problem. Like, oh, we need to get him out of here. And, like, the easiest way to get him out of here is make it easy. Even though the characters know it's easy. So the thing is, like, the characters shouldn't know then.
And it's
convenient. It's just like, what are these cops are idiots? And they mention what happened in Venom. So, like, this world, theoretically, like, weird shit like this has happened. Like, look at the cell that Scream and Carnage were in, right?
True.
Scream was in a huge cell. They knew what to do with her. She was in like a supervillain cell. So this, I was just like, I just feel like there's scenes missing. Because I'm just like, I don't know why you put him in handcuffs.
Yeah. What do we say? Do we blame, right? Is it the writing?
Both. I really think someone made them edit this down and they edited it down to the point where it's like, it doesn't make sense. Like, the order of events don't make sense.
Right. Yeah. And let's see. What else did I have written down here? I wrote a couple of things. We talked about the trailers. We talked about the characters already. We talked about disability for a little bit already. Okay. when Jared Leto went into like the room with all the bats, did it not sound just like the Dark Knight when Bruce Wayne walks in?
Yeah, it looks that
with, like,
way.
All the bats.
The imagery is funny now too. I think that imagery is a very weird thing to choose because of Batman. I also think, like, oddly enough, all I think of is like, man, you're gonna unleash another fucking COVID pandemic, motherfucker. Like, you can't be doing this now. It's how you get COVID, going into a cell full of bats like that. I mean, that's just me. So, like, I just feel like that's what I think of when I see bats now. I'm just like, dude, you're gonna get COVID. You're gonna get COVID 22. Like, we're gonna be fucked.
Oh, it continues. It continues. Unless we all turn into vampires, then that might be a cool world, you know? So.
And he also said, I am Venom. Why did he say, I am Venom? Like, who wrote that?
It's one of those, like, it's a meta. It was like a meta thing, right? Because they're like, oh, he's in the Venom world. He exists. And it's a funny
joke. You think
joke
that's what that was? Like, that was intentional? Just that was an intentional Venom reference? Like, I just don't even get it.
Yeah, it has to be. Why else would he would say, you know, like, who else? Again, because, again, it's not expressing, you know.
It just seems like it doesn't even make sense. Like, the reference doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it doesn't. But it's just literally to point out that Morbius exists in the Venom universe.
Yeah,
that's
so
the
that
only
weird
reason why. Because they reference it twice. They reference San Francisco and, you know, that the stuff there. And they referenced, you know, like, I am Venom, you know, because I don't know, like, they just saw it in the news that was that guy's catchphrase, I am Venom.
Yeah. Another thing that didn't make sense because of editing, you know, when they go into the cell and they put the experimental medicine in the mouse and then it dies and then they go back up and take care of the girl?
Yep.
She, like, while they're taking care of the girl, like, she points and she says, look, it worked. But his laboratory wasn't next to that girl's bedroom, right? Like, it's like presumably on a different floor in a different building. Like, they, like, I would assume it's on a different floor of that building, but she just points from that room and they can just, like, see the mouse, which makes me think, okay, so, like, his laboratory is, like, across the hall then technically from, like, this girl's room. But then, like, after they do the experimental thing on the boat, when they're looking for Michael Morbius, like, no one goes there. Like, and he's there the whole time, but he's obviously not in the hospital, or he's not, like, directly near people. Like, he's in, like a location, right? Like the editing, like, they're like, oh, fuck, we have to put these two scenes next to each other, but we have nothing to bridge them to make them make sense, so they just do it.
I don't know. It's hard to say. That's what I'm saying. Like, so this movie, like, it's heartbreaking because, like, as much as that, and I talk about it out of, like, you know, my love for Spider-Man in this universe, and it just, like, it just sucks to kind of see something kind of, like, fall apart, and all of that.
Yeah. So anyway, we should just talk about the end credits then, because none of this other stuff makes sense.
Nothing makes sense, man. Nothing makes sense. So in the first post credit, we see, you know, like, Adrian Toomes come in to the jail, right? And then it's like, oh, well, I hope the food's better in this joint. And then the police and they're like, oh, hey, you're new and we don't know why you're here. So we're gonna let you go. They let him go. Second post credit scene. We see, Jerry, I'll let you explain the second post-credits scene.
The second one, we just see Morbius driving a car, and then he gets out of the car and sees Vulture in the suit, which also doesn't make sense because Vulture built that suit out of, like, Chitauri technology.
Yeah.
So I don't know. He somehow built a new one. It's not Michael Keaton, right? Because they never open up the mask, but then he just says we should talk or, like, work together, and he mentions Spider-Man. Which is weird because they're also breaking the rules. I mean, like, the Venom one also broke the rules in No Way Home. Theoretically, I guess if the Venom suit... Okay, maybe the Venom suit knew Spider-Man, maybe. Which doesn't really make sense because they never insinuated that in the movie. Because theoretically, in No Way Home, only people who knew Spider-Man was Peter Parker come to that universe. They kind of insinuate that Venom knows somehow. Okay, whatever. That's weird, but they're making that up, even though they've never shown it before. But this doesn't make any sense. The way, like, why was he transmitted? Because he was transmitted to another universe for whatever. I don't know. Maybe you just say magic happened, right? So magic happened, I guess.
It doesn't make any sense.
I was just going to say it doesn't make sense anyway either, because like Michael is kind of this conflicted anti-hero, but now he's just like showing up and they're just like, oh, now he's going to be a full-blown villain?
Yep.
Or like the Vulture's not going to be a villain? Like, I don't get it. Like, it's just like it somewhat undermines the any sort of like character they founded Morbius with, unless like Vulture's going to be a reformed villain, which they didn't insinuate. So like, as an audience member, you're just like kind of left confused. You're like, okay, so I don't know what the function of this team up is.
Yeah, exactly. And obviously what everyone's, you know, talking about, it's like, oh, they're gonna try to do the Sinister Six, which means that like that they're gonna try to make Morbius into a villain. And it's like, and again, the dialogue is just so horrific, because it's just like, hey, I read some of your work, Doc. I need your help, you know, to deal with the Spider-Man guy. And then all Morbius said is like, that's intriguing. And it ends. Right? So that's what I'm saying. Like, what was the point of this whole storytelling thing, you know, if we're going to make Morbius known to a bad guy who wasn't trying to do good, right? I feel like it's not the way that we should go about. You know, that's kind of like, you know, I feel like I might be more forgiving when we see the Kraven the Hunter movie, you know, because that has more of a heartfelt, he has more of a heartbreaking, heartfelt story that can be more
understandable. I don't know, man, this guy hunts people. Not like gonna humanize a person who like literally just hunts people.
Well, the thing is, like, okay, again, from my 90s animated knowledge, right? Like, there was like, again, he was hunting, you know, him and his partner, wife, were like, you know, studying animals and seeing what the strongest of the fittest was or whatever. And she gets sick, so he tries to find a cure and tests it on himself again. He just gets becomes a very aggressive person that, you know, now becomes animalistic, who wants to hunt people, right? Who wants to hunt things. And like him trying to like now wanting, you know, the mentality changes to him wanting to be like the strongest, you know, and like the best hunter or whatever. But there is a backstory of him trying to like save his partner, and that's how it goes. He gives the cure to his partner, and then she becomes like the animal, you know, aggressive and animalistic or whatever, and like starts to hurt people. So he's like, all right, well, I gotta take the serum and hunt her down, you know. But he also loses that, like, his you know, he loses his will to like the animalistic side or whatever, and like becomes, you know, like, I want to hunt, you know, people and hunt the strongest thing and take down the strongest thing down or whatever. I guess there's more to play with than that. Makes more sense with Kraven than the third that makes sense with some Morbius, from what we've been presented.
Maybe. Right? I mean, so, I'm curious if any of this continues. I mean, like, these movies at the end of the day, I assume they have to make some amount of profit for them to warrant continuing. I mean, this movie, I guess, had like the second biggest drop between week one and week two. And I don't know if that's total or just like recent cinematic history, but it went from like whatever, and it dropped like 85%. I mean, for all we know, the two tickets we bought were like, you know, 5% of total ticket sales, Andy.
Yeah. It's making, I mean, honestly, because it has the name Marvel stamped on it, it's going to be fine. You know, like, that's the only reason why it's going to, like,
is it? Make I don't back. Know if that's, I mean, like, maybe the budget wasn't huge, so that helps.
Yeah, the budget wasn't that crazy. And I feel like with global incoming or whatever, they're going to make their money back and some. So
someone's got to cast Jared Leto in like an actual good superhero movie.
I mean, too, like a 50-year-old dude, he like looks incredible. So
that's, yeah, he does look good. Like, I didn't realize he was 50.
Mm-hmm. I was just like, the hell. But yeah, he's 50, and the dude looks like he's my age. So, but. Yeah, man. I feel like that's all I got in me for Morbius, except he did a Hadouken from that. That's all I'm going to say from that, and that was really weird. Yeah. His last move was like, Hadouken, bat, Hadouken, and That's how he took down his friend.
Yeah, it's a rude movie. So we will see, I guess, how they continue the Sony Cinematic Marvel / Spider-Man universe.
Yep.
And I predict we will continue to see everyone epically fail this. And I think Sony will continue to fail. I think best case scenario for WB, for Warner Brothers, is somehow they get their shit together with DC a little bit and make above average movies with like Aquaman. But then ultimately they're good ones. The only good ones they make, I think, will continue to be the ones where they let the directors just take full lease.
Yeah, we'll see with Flashpoint now. We might be needing a new Flash.
Well, that got pushed back too. So like that kind of fucks stuff up, because also like Michael Keaton is in the Batgirl TV show. And that TV show was supposed to air after Flashpoint. Because whatever they're doing with Michael Keaton in Flash is like probably resetting up the entire thing they're doing. So I guess they're going to have to push that back too. Unless they're going to go back and just massively re-edit everything. But the Flashpoint movie's already filmed, I think.
Yeah, it's just there's a bunch of controversy because Ezra Miller, he did some shitty things. And
no, controversy of him. I mean, like, he's had a lot of controversy, to be honest. I just mean from a cinematic place. I mean, like, they could have relaunched Flash anyway. They could use that movie to relaunch everything, theoretically. I mean, you don't really need a movie for it, but, I mean, they could... You know, he could die at the end of Flashpoint, and then they could do Wally West, right? Wally West is now the Flash. We have new characters. Wally West was the Flash for a very long time. So they could do whatever they want with it, but the order of that, I presume, matters, right? Because you have this, you know, this Batman crossover thing. And if you have Michael Keaton in the Batwoman, Batgirl TV show, the order there matters, unless they can fix it. Like, I guess Marvel had to do with the multiverse thing.
Yep. We'll see what the hell happens. I mean, I mean, you know more about the DC stuff than I do, and so I'll just, you know, again, I'm definitely gonna sit and watch what comes out, and we will talk about it.
Okay, well, that was probably 25 minutes more than anyone wanted to listen to Morbius. Unless you didn't see Morbius, maybe someone didn't see Morbius and they wanted to hear how much of a, you know, trash fire it was.
Just like it has some good shit, it has some good ideas. It's just kind of like it just, you know, fell apart, and which was just kind of heartbreaking.
I agree. I say it's a trash fire, but I mean, like, I think that really could have been a good movie. They really could have done a really interesting.
Yeah, potential was there.
Yeah, there was a lot of potential there. There really was. But oh well.
All right, I guess we will leave it there. I'm gonna message Andrew some ideas that I have for movies that we could potentially talk about,
including. And then we have Doctor Strange is relatively soon.
Yeah, but between then, because I think we have May 6th is when it comes out. But between now and then, there's two movies that I would want to talk to you about. One is the Everything Everywhere All at Once, right? If you could find it in your area. And then maybe, hopefully in your area, there's also a Nicolas Cage movie that's coming out where he plays himself in that movie.
Nice. I love Nick Cage.
Yeah. So I feel like I'm excited to watch those movies. So we got some. So I'm pretty excited for the next like month and a half, because we got some good stuff coming out. And again, with Moon Knight and everything. So yeah, good stuff to talk about, which I'm really excited. So yeah, this has been I Want to Talk Movies. My name is Andy.
I'm Andrew. See you guys next time.